Good evening. It's okay if you're not nervous. I'm nervous enough for everybody here. If y'all will bear with me, I think I've got a message for everybody. There was a man that built a mansion on a hilltop. A great mansion. In that mansion, he had a dining hall that would feed and seat hundreds. One day he came in and there was a crack in his wall. He called his contractor, the contractor came out there, put some mud in the plaster, put some plaster in the crack, smoothed it over, painted it, looked like new. A few months he came in, crack. He called the contractor back, contractor came out there, put more mud, more plaster, painted over it, looked like new. One more time he comes in, crack in the wall. So he calls somebody else. Guy comes out there and says, look, I've got a crack in my wall. I've got a $1 million home here and a big crack keeps coming in my wall. The guy walks outside. He says, hey, wait a minute. You going to do something about the crack? He says, yeah, give me just a minute. He walks outside the building. He goes outside kicking around in the dirt. Guy goes out there, the homeowner, he goes out there and says, what are you doing? I need my crack fixed. I've got a nice home here. I'm proud of my home, and I've got an ugly crack in the ceiling, in the wall. He said, mister, it's your foundation. Look here, it's your foundation. It's all about foundation. Where's your foundation? Where's my foundation? This is my foundation. What's God's foundation for us? The Bible tells us it's love. Love for Him. Love for our brothers and sisters. Love for the Word. Even love for our enemies. Hard to swallow, ain't it? Love for your enemies. Those who persecute you. Those who would do evil unto you or speak evil unto you. We've got to love them. I don't mean to blow my own horn, but as we go through the sermon, I'll tell you things that I've come across in my journey and things of where I'm at today that you need to know so you'll know more about what I'm talking about. I'm not a Bible scholar. I'm not a book smart feller. Matter of fact, Brother Hoagland, the first couple times he talked about a Greek lexicographer, which is somebody who interprets the Greek Bible, the Holy Bible, Greek into English, more or less a walking dictionary. When he talked about a Greek lexicographer, I went outside to see what Brother Jumper drove because I thought he'd have got a new set of wheels. That shows you that I'm not the brightest bulb on the shelf. I'm not a well-spoken person. I've got that old redneck drawl to me that most of y'all can understand. But I'm not a well-spoken person. There's many others that could have done a better job here tonight than I do. One thing I have got going for me, I got love. My foundation is good. My foundation is solid. And it's not nothing that I did. Christ and God has put this in my heart. Christ gave me the heart that I've got. A heart of love. A love for each one of you. A loving heart. A love for God, a love for Christ, a love for the Holy Ghost, a genuine love for my brothers and sisters. I love my family, my kids, my grandkids. But if you'll ask them, they'll tell you what comes first in my life. I don't think they'll skip a heartbeat. They'll tell you who's first in my life. And that's the Lord. That's the way it's got to be. It won't work no other way. My kids, my grandkids, my relationships with people. Second place. Everything is second place. God must come first. Love of God. Love for a fellow man. Let's read a few scriptures. And there's hundreds. When I started researching this, there's no way. From cover to cover, there are literally hundreds of verses on love. I'd like to share just a few of them with you. 1 John 4:7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. What did Jesus say about love? Matthew 5:43-48. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good. He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brother, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. There was a man at Corinth. Most of you know I work at the Walmart at Corinth. I work in the sporting goods department. It's been several months ago, but my boss come got me from behind the counter. I was running the register. Come got me from behind the counter and showed me some things in the department he wanted me to do. Well, when I got back up to the counter, there's a fellow standing there, been waiting for crickets. Well, I apologized to him, told him I'd take care of him right away. Well, listen, he must have had a bad day, because he sit in calling me names and talking ugly to me. Well, I apologized, told him that I'd take care of him, but he just kept right on. I gritted my teeth. I think I cracked one. I wanted to slide him across the floor. Couldn't do that. When he left, I finally took care of him. When he left, about 15 minutes after my blood pressure come back down, I prayed because of the attitude that I had. Then I prayed for him. He's been in there a dozen times since. And he's not the most sociable feller. He hadn't cussed me anymore. My prayer worked. My prayer worked on me. I think it worked on him. I was blessed through that encounter. I didn't like it too good, but I was blessed through that encounter. Mark 12:28 says, and one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing one with another, and seeing that he being Jesus, he answered them well, asking him, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. First Corinthians 13:4-8 says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass. Once again, there was hundreds of scriptures on love. Hard to pick out one. Romans 5:8. But God showed his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for me. Every sin that I commit, I'm the hammer that drove the nail in the hands of my Savior. Every sin that I commit, I lift him up on the cross and drop him down into that hole. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now then, do you understand that I love you, each and every one of you? Here comes the tough part. Pop quiz. Nobody likes a pop quiz. We're not going to be graded. We're not going to be judged. I want everybody to listen to these questions I have. You know, sometimes we judge our brothers and sisters too harshly. You know, God don't even judge us till we're dead. And we look across the way and judge somebody for what they've done, the way they act, and the way they do. God don't even judge us till we're dead. Where's the love? Number one, do you pray daily for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you call them by name from time to time? The ones that are struggling, the ones that come to church once a week or might show up Sunday night, might not. Do you pray for that brother? Do you pray for that sister? Or do you criticize and ridicule? Number two, do you pray for those who don't know Christ? There's a world out there that's evil and wicked that don't know the love that brothers and sisters in Christ like we are have for each other. Do you pray for those folks? Do you pray for the sick? Do you pray for the shut-ins? In our announcements, we always talk about the shut-ins and the sick, the ones that can't get out and go and do. Do you pray for them? Better yet, do you go visit them? I don't mean to pat myself on the back. Don't take this the wrong way. I go by the nursing home twice, three times a week. Both of them. A lot of times I go in the door singing and hollering. They know it's me when I open the door. And some of them, when I first started doing it, some of them get over in the corner and hide. But now they look around the corner. They know it's Jerry. They know I've got a song in my heart. And they enjoy every minute of my company. But better than that, yeah, I enjoy it. I am blessed. I stop and talk to a lady for 2 minutes and kneel and pray with her. And when I get up, my knees don't even hurt. It's such a blessing to serve a Lord and Savior. Do you share the gospel with people? You know, we have a command to share the gospel, to spread the gospel. Not a suggestion. Not a when you get time. Do you share the gospel with brothers and sisters that you see every day? Do you spread the gospel amongst your peers, people you work with, people you see every day? Do they know you're a Christian? Or they just know you're a pretty good old boy? You know, heaven ain't made for good old boys. As much as I like good old boys, heaven's not made for good old boys. Heaven's made for Christians. That do God's will. Are you walking a walk that people see Christ walking in you? Everybody's looking at everything you do every day. I got grandsons watching me. People at Walmart that'll cuss you if you don't give their crickets when they think they need them. And they're waiting for a reaction out of you. What's your reaction? Is it love? You have that love for your fellow man that Christ had for you. Are your children drawn closer to Christ through your actions? Is your world changed because you are a Christian? Is the Godhead, the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, are they lifted up because of your attitude? Are they lifted up because you're a Christian that's serving? What's your foundation? Have you got a crack in your wall? If you have, your foundation is not love. Are you ready to fix that foundation? How many people have you invited to church to hear the gospel? How many people have you had invited to church to hear about a Lord and Savior as awesome as mine? And it don't matter how many shows up. How many have you invited? When Brother Ward first told me that, when he first said that up here from the pulpit, I was shocked. What do you mean? If you don't get nobody to come to church, you ain't doing no good. God makes the increase. God makes the increase. You try your best to get them in here. If they don't come, you can't hog time. But you've got to invite them. Do you sing praises unto him as we just got done doing? Or do you just move your lips and mumble through a song? Is it coming from your heart? Is it coming from your mouth? When I say heart, the Bible heart. All your heart does is pump blood. But your Bible heart's right here. Do you mean the words that you sing? Do you put God first in your life? Is God the center? Everything else will work out if you'll put God first. Last question. Whom do you serve? There's only two choices. I'm not going to call the choices out. You know them. Good old boys, good folks. It's fine. Christians that are serving God, if you don't mind me saying it, more better. A lot more better. There was a time when the people at West Boonville, when the Christians at West Boonville served better. They served harder. I don't know how to explain it. Mark came in one day. I wasn't even attending church. Mark came home one day from church, and him and Thomas Keenum had gotten Thomas's car, and all Mark's ever rode in was my old truck. A green fender, a blue door, a white van. He had gotten one of Thomas's cars that had everything in it, push button, water dispenser, the whole nine yards. He was real impressed. They'd been all over Boonville passing out flyers for a gospel meeting at West Boonville Church of Christ. When's the last time that we've pushed a gospel meeting? When's the last time that we've invited folks to come and hear the gospel? Brother William Ward used to be the preacher here when I first started attending in a little bitty church right here next to us. He told a story that I'll never forget. He told of a story of a preacher that the congregation was dwindling. A congregation that once had 150 people now had 125. Then it had 100, and then it had 75. One Sunday evening, he came in early to church and he put a casket in front of the pulpit. Had it closed. As the congregation come in to sit down, they sang a couple songs. And when he got up to preach, he said he wanted everybody to come by and view the casket. He went down and he opened up the casket. In the casket was a mirror. And as the members came by and looked in, they saw themselves. A dying church. How pitiful. The Lord's church. You know, I told several people about me preaching tonight. They said, "Are you preaching at your church?" I don't have a church. I belong to one, but I didn't die for this church. Jesus Christ did. Of course, it was just a figure of speech. But I don't have a church. I belong to this one. This is Jesus Christ's church. What's the future of our church? I don't mean to leave anybody out. But I've got a few names that I want to pat on the back just a little bit. Our elders and our deacons, I think, are doing a fine job. Our preacher, who's now down, is doing a fine job. But he's old and wore out. We need to pray for the church universal. We need to pray for the future of this church. We need to work for the future of this church. If we do not, we can put a casket right down here, down front, and put a mirror in it. There's people called on at a moment's notice that are ready to get up and wait on the Lord's table, are ready to get up and lead scripture, lead singing, whatever they need to do. Taylor Trimble. Kyle Kirkdown, Adam Harris. I wish I could pronounce like he does. Alex Dowd, Riley Bourne, Matt Bourne, Jimmy Center. Miss Sybil Bourne told me a while back I was teaching class. I guess it's been a year, year and a half ago. I was teaching the high school kids' class, and she come to me and said that David had aspirations of being an elder in church. How uplifting. How special. He didn't want to be a doctor. He didn't want to be a lawyer. He didn't want to be an ace mechanic like his father. He wants to be an elder in the Church of Christ. Do you know what I would give? For one of my sons to serve as an elder in the Church of Christ. What I'd give for him to be here. Sam Center has got a pulpit at his house. Him and his brother built him a pulpit. He preaches. This is the future of our church, brothers and sisters. This is the young of our church that will one day run this church if it's God's will. I want to lift these people up. I want to lift everybody up that's here, because just by you being here tonight, it picked me up. What a story. Story of hope. A love story. The greatest story ever told. My sermon's sort of short. It's from the heart. It's told with love. Oh, somebody I can't figure out. I left off Nathan and Nick. Nick couldn't even read the first time he got up here and read scripture before the church. He couldn't even read. He had to memorize. Joe Carroll this morning had her grandson, and she was so proud. She was busted out. I told her, I said, Joe Carroll, I said, you wait till this little fella gets up in front of the church and reads scripture. Pride is a sin. Pride, my Lord and Savior, is not. I'm so proud of where I am today. And it's through him. It's not nothing I did. I turned my life over to him. I probably imagine my mama wore out several pair of breeches getting on her knees to pray for me. I'm so thankful. On your prayer list, a few prayer concerns. While you pray, pray for Jerry. Pray that Jerry keeps the love for his loving Savior first above all. Pray that he keeps that loving heart for each one of you. Pray that through me and through you, this church will be magnified. The borders of God's kingdom will be expanded. I pray that you did well on your pop test. Didn't mean to scare none of you. But take this with you through the week. Think about those things. Think about how you did. Think about how God would grade you if he was grading. Hope that I've said something tonight that will put you on a path or lead you and others to Christ. Just remember, the light at the end of the tunnel, like it or not, it may be you. It may be you. The light at the end of the tunnel that somebody's looking at might be you. If you need to be baptized into Christ, if you need to be baptized for the remission of sin, the Baptist's ready. If you need to rededicate your life, if you need to work on your test scores, come down, we'll pray for you. If you've sinned and brought reproach upon the church, come to the front, we'll pray for you. Above all, pray. Please stand as we stand.